Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Any win's a good win, right?
I always say that. You know, beauty's a light switch away. So, you know, you win one, you got to put it to bed. And even with the win, we were frustrated. I mean, we could have played better. And the way it started was great. We're up 22 to rip in the second quarter and just couldn't put them away. And they fought and made some big plays. And it seemed like every ball that was a 50-50 ball came down in their hands. And our offense kept producing and kept pushing it to a two-score game, and we'd let him back in on D, and then it was a wild day. And Coach Derek at home had some gadgets. I think everyone in their playbook worked for him, but yeah, it was a game that we felt we were better than the score, and we just got to go out and execute, and that's what it comes down to.
They say that a team with nothing to lose is a dangerous team. All the gadget plays, the tricks. Yeah, they don't have much to lose, but they're gadget plays because they work. How much time do you practice against nonsense offense?
You know, the sad thing is we practice the reverse pass, we practice reverse. We didn't practice the throwback to a tight end. They threw back on the, you know, sprint out and made a couple of really nice plays, but it's nothing that our guys hadn't seen, and you just got to use your rules. So it's disappointing. More so disappointing because we had kids in position to make plays, and one of these days the technique, and it's just a matter of, you know, a step, eye discipline, or, you know, playing through the face mask and winning a jump ball. And those kids are hungry. They just got to make a play when, you know, it's game time. I see them do it every week in practice, so they're a talented group. It's just they got to go out there and do it, and I trust they will. They will, and their improvement is something that they know is needed, and we trust them to be able to go out and do it for us.
Every team has unscouted trick plays that are in their back pocket when they need them. They may not be on film this year. How far back do you go looking for some of that fluky stuff?
You know, since we had a little extra time in the offseason here, we definitely have gone back, and we knew they had, you know, we know what Craig has at Mary. He was here. He's got all the gadgets, and we certainly got quite a few of them in our own offensive arsenal too. So I think college football now is like, I don't even know where there's much gadget. You just work on them, and people have them part of their playbook. And so you see it in major college football. I was sitting around Saturday night after we had the seniors over and watched numerous teams do double passes and bubble passes and reverse passes. I'm like, it's not uncommon anymore, and certainly they work on it. And I think this COVID year, maybe they just had more time to throw more stuff on the wall and see if it stuck.
With the sheer number of big plays last week, what was it like on the sidelines of trying to figure out how to stop them and how to get your own?
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head. It's just like, if we make teams defensively earn up and down the field, not a lot of teams have shown that they're able to do it. Like, we've played pretty well, I think, second half against Mankato in the Aggie game. At certain times, we felt like we could control the line of scrimmage even versus some of those teams, and felt like we can control the line of scrimmage for the most part. And the crazy thing, when you watch the film, it's not three or four guys. It's usually one guy out of position or makes a mistake with a read and causes us to give up a big play. And even some of those big plays, I was like, even when the ball was in the air, I'm like, oh, that's going to be picked, and wrong color jersey came down with it. So it's a confidence issue, and you got to go out and produce in a game, and that's the challenge right now, is building back up. But those guys are frustrated, but, you know, got to put it to bed and move forward and keep getting back at it, and we'll get there. And they're talented enough that it's one of the more talented teams that we've had. It's just now getting some success in a game to kind of get their confidence rolling.
More with Coach Bolte when we return. Our pregame continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two, with head coach Brent Bolte. We're able to get a couple of runs to the end zone last week. How important was it to get Sage and Mikhail, for lack of a better term, going?
Yeah, and we talked about that in the previous handful of weeks, of being able to run the football. And first off, you just got to trust in the process. Like I told you the week before, it's like you just got to continue. Like a 2 or 3 yard gain is going to turn into a big play eventually. And it did. I thought Mikhail really had a great game. He ran hard. He was physical. Sage was patient. Made some big plays as well. And that just sets up Brandon Ault to be able to do more in the passing game as well. And they were certainly doubling Bolio. They're doing some different stuff defensively, and certainly their defense in general was interesting, you know, blitzing all over the place. But for the most part, it was much needed, and I think everybody sees the fruits of their labor, especially the O-line being physical and finishing out some plays.
With your tight end slot guys and the multiple stuff that you can do with them, if you're able to get a running back or both of them going and still spread the ball around with seven different guys catching passes, that's what your offense does, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be one-dimensional even when you're throwing the ball. And, you know, part of it was by necessity. We got a little bit banged up. You know, Duffy didn't play last week, nor did Dell. And then Bubba got dinged up right away in the first half. So it was a cast of different characters out there. And then, obviously, Bolio got dinged up. So it was a completely different look from, you know, week four to week five, which is a good thing. I think that maybe hurt Ault's completion percentage, to be honest with you, where, you know, they're just a little bit out of sync. But you can still see the big play ability and the kids that can catch it and run with it after the catch. So, but certainly running the football is going to be a recipe for us and something that's going to open up the throwing game as we go through.
Defensively, you got two more interceptions, two more takeaways. Seems like when you get them, they come in bunches, right?
Yeah, it's been weird this year. It seems like they're contagious. We got a couple late in the game, and we had, numerous pop flies. Like, we felt like we were going to come down, and guys go up and battle for it, and the ball ends up on the ground. And we got the interceptions, and we got a couple, you know, fumble recoveries there. So that certainly helps the guys get a little momentum on the sideline and get rolling. So, yeah, that's something that we practice and really work on.
Defensively, when you look at the stats from last week, Colton Herman led you with 9 tackles. Jalen Jenkins next with 8. Spencer Ware with 7. If Gabe Ames is down the list, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, you'd hope so. With him, his positioning and what he's able to do. And Gabe had a good game. I think that was his best game of the year, flying around, just being physical. I think teams are smart enough not to run the ball at Gabe all the time either, so that's part of the equation. But you know, our front seven did a good job. They popped the one bigger run, which was nothing to do with the front seven. We misfit behind it in the secondary. But I think if they can just stay consistent, our D-line and linebacking core, and get some confidence going with some of the jump ball stuff, our defense would be fine. We just, just got to focus on the things that we can handle.
Jalen Jenkins had 3 tackles for a loss. Sacks are great. They're emotional swing-type plays. Tackle for a loss isn't far behind on that type of a play, right?
Yeah, anytime that you can get teams behind the chain and get them out of their normal, you know, what they want to be, second and mediums and, you know, third and shorts, those are your huge plays. And we had a lot of negative plays last weekend. You know, we talked about ball disruption and different formulas that we use. If we usually can get to about 19%, we're pretty happy, and we were like almost 30%. So there's a lot of plays that were made, and there's a lot of good. Just unfortunately, some of those big plays kind of overshadow some of the stuff that was really good on Saturday, and it's kind of been our MO. Like, we'll play 80 to 85% pretty darn good, and then, you know, that 15% gets magnified right now, and we just gotta continue to work and trust the process of becoming a good defense again.
On to Concordia St. Paul. They're a team to me with the number of staff changes they've had in the last, say, 10 years that I can't really put a finger on what their identity is. What do you say their identity is?
You know, what they want to be is, they want to be a team that's going to be able to run the football. They got a really athletic quarterback. He's young, but he's a redshirt freshman, has good escapability, throws it pretty well, but they have a stable of really good running backs. They got a huge offensive line, so they want to pound it. They have a little bit of a younger receiving core, which, you know, younger quarterback, younger receiving core, they're going to hit their stride eventually. But that's what they want to be able to do. They want to be able to, you know, be fairly, I'd say, basic on defense, but play things really well, so they're not going to – they'll still blitz and do different things up front with twists and everything. But in terms of coverages, you're not going to see hundreds of variations. They're going to line up and do what they do. And I thought that's what really made them really good in 19. They ran – you know, 2 or 3 things extraordinarily well. Having Chris Garrett obviously helped. He was a difference maker now playing in the NFL. But that's what they want to be known for. They want to stop the run, be aggressive up front on defense, and play some man coverage and mix in some cover too. But they're a team that I think everybody in the league thought they were going to be better. you know, going 1-4 was it's probably a surprise going into it. They've been in some closer games, but they're a team that has a ton of talent. It's just a matter of when they put it together.
With the Gophers getting better, with St. Thomas moving to Division One, where do they fit in the Twin Cities?
It's a hard question to answer because I thought about that a lot too. You know, before St. Thomas made the move, they were kind of the D2, you know, presence in the Twin Cities. I can't imagine that's easy to recruit against St. Thomas. They're a great institution. It's a great college and, you know, obviously great academics and plus now being Division One. I think that's going to hurt anybody trying to recruit the Twin Cities Metro in all sports. Football, maybe not as much because they're non-scholarship right now. If they ever go scholarship, watch out. But certainly I think that makes it a little bit more difficult for Concordia St. Paul to, you know, find their niche kids. And, you know, the nice thing is there's a few million people laying around, so they can probably still find their guys. But, you know, he wants to recruit local. He wants to get Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa guys. And you know, it's, if you like the big city life, it's a good opportunity for you. So, but yeah, I think that definitely has made an impact on who's available for him. And I would guess before they probably didn't lose a lot of kids to St. Thomas, and now probably, you know, I'm sure it's hurting their recruiting battle.
Noon kickoffs have always seemed weird to me. What are they like for you guys and the players?
You know, we haven't had one. We've had a 2, a 4, a 6, so we might as well throw a noon in there too. But I don't mind them. I'm not a big fan of laying around all day and sitting around and just letting the nerves go. So wake up. I'm an early morning riser, so we'll get up and eat a little breakfast and go strap on the old helmet and go ahead and get after it. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Our guys are excited. We always have a huge fan base in the Twin Cities. I would say we'll probably have just as many fans or more than they have. We've certainly flooded their facilities down there with the green and white. So it's great for alumni and great for our fans, so they don't have to travel as much. So we're excited about getting down there.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it, man.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next here on the Beaver Radio Network.